Welcome to Tapped In. My name is David Figueroa Martinez of DFM Coaching, and today we're going to be discussing how to study jiu-jitsu instructionals like a pro. So I would start with the idea that I don't know if you're new to jiu-jitsu whether you should be doing instructionals or not. And the reason I say that is because most instructionals are not based on fundamentals or brand new people into the culture or the sport. A lot of it is more advanced techniques, more intricate techniques, things that require a knowledge of body movement and positional understanding in order to really get the most you can out of it. I find that when new students start, they'll start picking up either instructionals or going to seminars that maybe are not geared towards them and they're not really ready for it. When I started, I think it was within maybe my first 6 months of being at an actual academy, where I went to a Roy Harris collar choke seminar. And being a black belt now, I would have gotten so much from this moment or this seminar. But because I was so new to the sport, I don't remember anything other than the uncomfortableness that I had to go through. So I went to the seminar, and Roy Harris, the gym was named after him because I think he was majority or part owner at the time. But he was not teaching there regularly. My instructor, Jeff Baldwin, was the main instructor, and I don't know what the financial situation was at the time. Nonetheless, he came in and he did this seminar in the gi, and I went. I did the dumb decision of shaving my face the morning of. Stupid. I didn't know any better. And the collar chokes just wrecked my face. Like the gi friction against the face, and it, I remember that more than I remember any other technique of anything he showed. But I know it was important, and I knew it was fundamentally sound, and I knew that it was something that I needed to learn, but I just, at the time, I was not ready to take the information in. That's the one reason why I say maybe brand new people shouldn't go to these. And I'm not saying that that's a hard set rule, but I am saying sometimes you overlook the importance of the techniques, or your mind isn't ready to accept the techniques, or there's just too much going on that you don't even go into the class or the seminar ready to take everything in. So I think that if you're going to do instructionals, and they're not cheap, most of them are $70, $80, several hundred dollars. So you can take your pick. But if you're going to go the instructional route and you're relatively new, let's say early 6 months, maybe a year, and you don't really understand your game or what it needs, then maybe I would recommend not going this route. If you choose to go this route, I would adhere to a lot of the roadblocks, barriers that I'm going to put in place so that you get the most out of what you're doing. You have to pick something that is pertinent to what you are learning, what you want to develop, and goes in line with what's most presently needed for your development. So if I go into and I just grab, and we all do this to some degree, there's a really flashy technique, everyone's doing it, you want to master it because you want to hit it, it intrigues you, it makes you feel like, oh, this is the thing that I want to learn. But it may not be pertinent to the most pressing matters within your game. So if you're a under 1 year student and you haven't understood how to escape and retain guard, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say, I'm going to learn the Aoki lock. And I'm not saying white belts can't. They probably should at some point at least understand the positions and some of the things that go on in some of these more intricate techniques, but it's not pressing for what you're going through. You can't get out of side control, yet we're looking at advanced attacks with the legs or whatever other submission that there is. So that point or that stage in life that you're at when it comes to jiu-jitsu is super important to how and why you should pick certain techniques. If you come across, let's say, again, you're under 1 year, and you're struggling to escape mount, escape side control, escape period, you should probably learn or go out of your way to to develop or find material that's specific to kind of that. And I know it's a bit harder these days because everything's flashy. But BJJ Fanatics does have some instructionals that are geared towards that. That's where I would say you should probably start. If you're also at a place where you feel like, oh, I can get to a specific guard that I like playing. I can escape. I can get to this guard. And you're advanced to that stage. Then I would suggest finding material that's specific to that guard. You're finding yourself there often. You're spending a lot of time there. You maybe have a lot of empty spots or areas that you haven't developed yet, or you don't know what should go there. Then an instructional on half guard. Let's say you find yourself in half guard quite a bit. An instruction on half guard is going to be super useful, depending on who it is, obviously, but it's going to be super useful. The other thing about picking with purpose is sometimes we're not advanced enough to understand everything we're seeing. And what I mean by that is you will have, let's say you have the option of picking between someone who speaks more your jargon and you're relatively, again, new to the sport. You may not know all the Japanese terms. You may not want to go that route. You may want to go against someone or go with an instructional by someone that speaks a bit more clearly to you. And they look at the position a little bit more simpler. So there's some instructional out there that you can find, like a half guard instructional, where it's maybe an hour, hour and a half of material versus a half guard instructional by Danaher, who speaks damn near another language from a philosophy background with a lot of words and a lot of stuff and a lot of details. And when you go that route, you're sitting there like, I have to learn the jargon sort of in order to get the pieces. And this instructional is several volumes deep. I don't know if I'm ever going to get through this. Like, it's too much material. So the stage in which you're in is also going to be beneficial for you to understand whether you can go through a Danaher style instructional, or you should get someone who's a little bit more your speed and maybe presents the material a bit more simpler. There's absolutely nothing wrong with either. But as a Jiu-Jitsu black belt myself, I'd love the Danaher material. I do think it's a bit much. And you have to set aside some major time to really get through those instructionals. There's a lot of material. He goes into a lot of depth and discussions, and you may not have that time. Like, I'm not a pro. I got a spouse. I got a job. I got to teach. So there's all these other things that you have to do that maybe you want to go and sit down with someone whose attention to detail was good, but a little easier to download for you. So those are things that you want to consider in this. What stage of jiu-jitsu you're in, what level of understanding do you have, and what's most pressing? That is what I would encompass when it comes to pick with a purpose. Do not pick just simply because it's the thing at the gym or the thing on the pro circuit or the thing that's super popular right now. It's not going to stick as well as if in comparison to the thing that I really need help with. If I have a car and I want to make it look nice and flashy and get some rims, but the brakes need work, it doesn't make any sense to get the rims, if I could put it that way. I would suggest breaking whatever volume you get or whatever instructor or instructional you get. I suggest breaking things into chunks. Anytime I go through an instructional, I go maybe a chapter at a time, or if the chapters are too in depth, I do 15 to 20 minutes, a couple of techniques, and I watch it, rewatch it. And then on the rewatch, I make notes of timestamps, and I look at, and I make quick notes at 2 minutes and 47 seconds. He talks about this technique, why it's pertinent, and what he's looking for. Something just basic. And if I'm doing this online, I will often keep like a Google Doc or Google Keep or something where I can just write that down. I don't necessarily write it down on paper, like pen and paper type of thing, because I could lose that and I may not have it when I need it. If I go the virtual route, I'll have my phone with me and I can check it out any moment. I could check it out right when I pull into the gym, revise it just so I kind of had a feel for it, and then work on it. I don't take copious notes. I don't go over the technique to like, oh, I want to bunch a bunch of different categories or techniques or chapters together. I really chunk them in really small segments, even if it's something that I'm kind of familiar with, because then I can go out and with those notes before class, like I said, I can then start doing some visual reps, mental reps, ideas of how I can approach certain things, who I can decide that I'm going to try this on. That makes a big difference too. So if I am whatever belt I am, and this technique is very new to me, I'm trying it on white belts, brand new white belts. And then when I get some familiarity and I'm starting to pick up on the cues that I need to develop and the angles and the timing, then I can use it on a blue belt or someone a little bit more advanced. I do not necessarily try this immediately on brown and black belts unless I have familiarity with it. There are positions that I'm really familiar with, half guard, butterfly half, butterfly, where I'm so stacked in that position where it's a very comfortable position for me. Where, yeah, I can try that on a black belt and be like, okay, I can at least initiate it. It may not be successful, but I'm getting the reps and getting into the position and initiating, starting contact. That isn't the case for everyone. And there's times when I'm doing, let's say, Woj lock. I'm not doing that on black belts. I'm doing it on someone lesser. I'm giving the heads up, hey, I'm going to be working on some leg lock stuff. And just so you pay attention, I'm not going to rip anything. I'm not going to force you to submit right off the bat, but I'm working into the positions just so you know, so you don't do anything dumb and you're not caught off guard by what I'm doing. I do a lot of mental reps as well. I think about the positions. I think about how I'm going to go get into them. And some people will kind of mock mental reps, like that's not enough. And it's not enough, but it's beneficial because it forces you to kind of remember the steps. And I understand once we get into contact and they start moving a certain way that you don't anticipate, everything goes out the window. But you can at least remember the basic steps. I need to grab the ankle. I need to get my feet in place. I need to feel for the heel or whatever it might be. It's beneficial to do a lot of mental reps, play with it in your head, see where it might go wrong, where it would go successful, what areas you think you may not maybe have developed proper movement yet. Also, what areas could go wrong in their sense of maybe someone getting hurt. If I go for this leg lock, because that's the example, does my opponent roll the wrong way? And if they start rolling, then I need to let go. And just see the picture fully and try to address things in that little mind map of yours, and then start addressing them physically with people. Your time on the mats is like time in a lab. And I used to have a class called Sunday Lab. And the reason I called it Sunday Lab was because I wanted it to be a session where people could, one, ask questions, apply those questions or those techniques during the class. And it was heavy experimental. I wanted people to do a lot of situational sparring, I wanted it to be guided by the students in a certain way. And my approach has always been, whenever I'm trying to learn something, I go into the gym like a scientist. I go in thinking, we're going to have a lot of failures today. But those failures are going to give me data. And I speak about data quite a bit. That data that you collect on every failure you have, and you're going to fail from people who are bigger, people who are slimmer, people who are shorter, taller, people who are more advanced, people who have tendencies to move a certain way that you can't anticipate. All of those things are beneficial for the data collection. My lab is the mat. So when I go there and I'm learning something, I'm working on some stuff now, and I want to see every failure point that I may come across. I want to see the good things, and I want to see the things that I do well, and I want to feel, hey, some success in things. But really, I'm searching for the failure points. I want to test drive this thing to the point where if I say I hit the gas at some point and my movement is kind of shaky and I misstep, or I find that I misstep quite a bit, then I need to study that part. Maybe I need to slow things down a little bit. Maybe I need to drill a little bit more with a static partner so that I can get the time or the step just right. I want to see where the fail points are in the sense of maybe I'm getting to the last ditch part of the technique. I got the collar choke. I'm starting to cinch that in and they bridge a certain way and I respond and I sort of lose the grip. I want to know where that's going to happen. I want to know why that's going to happen. I want to know why a stronger person is able to push me away with ease versus a smaller person who can't do that. So I'm going to go with some bigger people. How do I lock this position up where they can't push me with their obvious strength? How can I negate the strength? So those are the things that we have to really like search for because they're not going to always be readily available. And so when I come in and I'm working on a specific thing from an instructional, my goal is to hit that on everybody. My first goal is to initiate it on everyone. And then I start seeing and studying how they respond because everyone's going to respond differently. You're going to have like the common 2 to 3, but then you're going to come across outliers that show you something vastly different. And you're just like, what is this? So then you have to address those too. So take the lab as your, take the mat time as your laboratory. Know there's going to be a lot of failures. Know there's going to be a lot of moments where you're just a little short. Your timing was off. You got booked off. You didn't hold them down just enough. It's all part of it. Really embrace it. Because the other side of that is a moment where you understand the technique so crisply that it doesn't matter what the other person does. You have already seen the movie and you start responding a certain way by sheer like muscle memory. I also tend to layer, not stack. And I don't know how to quite explain this part. When I put techniques together from a instructional, I want them to kind of feed into each other partially. I don't want them to be disconnected. So let's say I'm studying a half guard technique. And in that technique or in that instructional, you're going to see a lot of varying techniques that will work. But they don't always work like layered on top of one another. Like, let's say we're in half guard and I do John Wayne sweep. John Wayne sweep gets layered with the underhook if my John Wayne fails. The John Wayne sweep gets layered with a 2-on-1 grip that pulls them back across if this initial sweep fails. But let's say I do John Wayne sweep, but we're really wanting to attack the collar. Yes, there's a slight connection there, but it's not as smooth as John Wayne sweep fails, I get underhook. Like that's layered on top of one another. That gives me a different feel for the techniques because every time I get into a role with someone, my objective is to get that John Wayne sweep. So if my instructional is specific or predicated on that, my initial stage is always John Wayne. So then I, John Wayne, and I get accustomed to, again, the common 3 to 5 responses. My next step in this flow chart is getting that underhook. So then I got a lot of rep time in the John Wayne sweep. Then I got a lot of rep time in the underhook. And then I get a lot of rep time in maybe going to dogfight or taking the back or sitting back in butterfly guard. So it gives me layered attacks that kind of not completely, but they layer certain aspects where one feeds into the next and feeds into the next. And I'm getting this repetition and knowledge of that position really well. And by the time we get to technique 3 or 4, I'm well versed in all the previous aspects of it because I've had to drill that for so long. So if you're going to go through a instructional, simply put, break it down into smaller chunks. Make that your goal during the roles. Make sure you're taking notes. Make sure you're visualizing a lot of what you're doing. That mental reps are very underrated in development. Use your gym time as your lab. Experiment on all body types, experience levels, approaches. You want to see everywhere where it's going to succeed and fail. The failure is really what we're looking for. And then layer the follow-up techniques so that they work in unison with one another. If you have any questions on this or anything else, please let me know. You can always reach out to me at dfm.2099 on Instagram and Threads. If you'd like to work with me, you have two options now. It's dfmcoaching.com, or you can come to the school community, which is linked in the bio. It's free for the time being. At some point, I will start charging, but I wanted to get this up and going so that people feel comfortable in it, where they can ask questions, they can get some feedback. I have premium audio series on there. I have recorded workshops on there. I really want to get people to feel comfortable with jiu-jitsu and really help with the attrition rate, where people feel like this isn't for me and I got to leave. This community is great for everyone in the jiu-jitsu community, specifically white and blue belts. Any questions, please hit me up. Until next time, thank you so much.